Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
The DSW Black Friday sale is on. Take 30% off almost everything in stores and online right now. Yep, you heard that right. 30% off. Stock up on new shoes, bags, and extras for you and yours from all the gift-worthy brands you love. But hurry, Black Friday can't last forever. Get to your DSW store or DSW.com ASAP to save big. Exclusions apply. Details at DSW.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
And welcome, everybody, to this week's exciting episode. Well, I say it's exciting. I actually have no idea if it's going to be exciting or not because I know absolutely nothing about this week's topic. Josh, it is all on you. Do you want to do the reveal?
Well, exciting is a strong word. I'd say medium excitement. I think the actual story of today is a little bit exciting. But
should we go with the word fascinating?
Yes.
Yeah,
I'd say fascinating.
This week's fascinating episode.
It is. This is also a request from a couple of people. Well, not a proper request, but they've said, oh, did you know about this?
And I was like... Oh, we've had a few mentions like that.
Yeah. And I'd vaguely heard of this story a couple times and through the years, but didn't think that much of it. So I thought, you know what? Today, we're going to do The Green Children of Woolpit.
Excellent. Like I say, ooh. I've never heard of you know what? I've actually just thought.
Yeah.
We do this kind of revealing the episode topic every week.
Yeah.
But it's going to be written on the title and description, so people are going to know what it is before we even introduce it.
Yeah, that is true. But it's still fun. It's part
It's part of the tradition. Yeah. We've made a tradition out of it. So.
Whoa, also known as the Green Children of Suffolk, some people call it.
Yeah,
But it's the Green Children of Woolpit.
Woolpit is in Suffolk. It's not too far from us, to be fair.
It is. It's a few miles up the road, so it's kind of local. So, yeah.
Less than an hour's drive for us.
Yeah, it definitely is less than an hour.
Yeah.
It's probably, 20 minutes up the road, half hour?
Probably something like that, yeah.
So you said you know nothing of the Green Children.
Nothing. I've heard the term maybe two or three times, probably mostly from you. But yeah, no, never heard of it before. Because obviously I'm not from these parts originally. I've only lived in East Anglia for just over 10 years. So yeah, this is not part of my upbringing or anything, you know?
Well, I was raised on the Green Children of Woolpit.
As an American.
from the age of 12... I lived amongst these parts, and I heard about the Green Children of Woolpit. So, I'm going to kick things off, mate. I'm going to go for it.
Let's go. Let's dive in. Who are the Green Children of Woolpit?
Well, in the mid-12th century, during the reign of King Stephen, Woolpit comes from a pit used to catch wolves.
Oh, wolves?
Yeah.
Oh, not sheep?
No, I actually thought the same thing. I was like, oh, it's a pit of wool. But no, it actually comes from the Old English of wolf pit, which is wolf, but with a U instead of an O.
Fair enough.
And I don't know if I'll surprise you with the dating on this, because you don't know the story, but around 1150.
Okay.
12th century.
That's an old story then.
This is a very old story. Yeah,
some might say ancient.
Yeah, and it towards the end, it's very mysterious.
Yeah.
There's not one definitive answer as to what happened, because that's such a long time of these. I suppose it's kind of like the Bible, isn't it, with the stories getting passed down and changed over the years. So around 1150, a group of villagers came across two children with green skin, speaking gibberish and acting nervously with unfamiliar clothing. Ooh.
Spooky already.
They were taken in by Sir Richard, who offered them food for several days, but they refused to eat anything at all. Nothing. They refused for several days, almost a week.
I'm already thinking aliens.
Ooh, well, maybe.
Oh. I felt a get out of my head pirate coming
out. No, not yet. I mean, they could be. I'll let you decide at the end.
Okay.
So, until the two children were playing in the garden when they came across a patch of green beans. The children then proceeded to eat all the green beans straight out of the ground raw.
Right.
So they refused to eat anything at all for almost a week. And then they found the green beans in the garden, devoured them ravishly.
Tell you what, it's lucky they were found at a certain time of year then, isn't it?
Yeah.
They could have gone months without eating.
Yeah, it's a good job they actually found the beans in the first place. Yeah. They just have nothing at all. Just being stubborn about their food. So they just ravished these green beans. And Sir Richard was like, what is going on? They refuse all this lovely food. You got your bread and your cheese and
beef. Yeah, roast dinners and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, they wanted nothing, mate.
Not even Brussels sprouts.
Which no.
Obviously, you know, for a reason.
But they saw these green beans and they were like, whoa, we can't get enough. And just ate everything.
Fair play.
So the two children lived with Sir Richard de Cane for several years, and eventually Sir Richard was able to give them a normal diet, and they began to communicate, and the gibberish began to stop. They learned English and were able to become fluent. Their colour also started to fade as they were eating the normal food. But this took several years. This wasn't like an overnight thing. So eventually Sir Richard is like, oh, I'm going to see what's going on here. I'm going to try and make them normal children.
Okay.
So, are you following up to date?
I am following. I'm a little confused. I mean, obviously, I'm supposing now that obviously the pigment from the green beans, if that's all that they've been eating for so long, is possibly what turned their pigment green in their skin.
No.
To start with. And obviously, if they're eating different food, then their skin fades to what I'm guessing a normal skin colour.
Apparently, it never fully went normal. There was always like a tinge of green. It just faded over the years as they...
Because I'm just remembering back to, what was it, the 1990s when Sunny Delight was released with its original formula and all these kids started turning orange. That's the only way that I can explain the green colour.
Yeah, and I have a vendetta against them kids because Sunny Delight used to be amazing and it used to taste really good. And because of those kids turning orange, I've got some sort of problem, like...
Oh,
ruined it for the rest of
you. You lost your favourite flavour of Sunny Delight.
Oh, mate, Sunny D used to be my favourite. Not anymore. Get out of here. So,
the Orange Children of California next week.
Yeah. Yeah. Tune in next week to find out what actually happened to Sunny D. Conspiracy? Maybe. Tune in. So Sir Richard eventually worked up the courage and trust to start asking the Green Children who they were and where they came from. Here's what they said.
Dun, dun, dun. Do you want a drum roll?
I was going to do like a weird alien voice, but I don't think I can hold it for that long. So I can
lend you a kazoo if you want to speak through that.
Definitely not. That's just going to ruin. People won't be able to understand me. I'm going to butcher it anyway.
Okay, go on.
So The Green Children said, "We are ignorant of how we arrived here with you, but we only remember on a certain day we were feeding our father's flock in the fields when we heard a great sound, such as bells chiming, and whilst listening to the sound in admiration, we were suddenly entranced and found ourselves among you." And then they went on to say, "A certain luminous county is seen, not far distant from ours and divided by a very considerable river. The sun never shone, and everything was green, and the light was twilight." So they're talking about their home planet, maybe, okay, or where they're from.
Yeah, we're going really gripping onto that alien theme here, aren't
yeah,
we?
Yeah. So, shortly after this, Sir Richard took the children to be baptized in a local church. So he's thinking, maybe there's some dark magic going on here.
Okay.
They were talking gibberish. They're green. They're talking about being from a different place entirely.
Maybe he's a thinking, different dimension.
Different dimension. He's thinking, let's get these kids baptized.
Of course. A natural response.
Yeah, yeah. Because...
Well, back in that time...
Mm-hmm.
In like, when was it? The 1100s?
12th century, yeah. 1150.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, to be outwardly non-religious in those times in England would almost be a death penalty.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Well, speaking of death, the boy died straight after becoming baptised.
Oh.
From a mysterious unknown illness. So...
Oh, he's allergic to holy water.
Yeah, apparently so. Yeah, so reports say it was either on the same day of being baptised, or right, it was the day after. Oh. But when he was baptised, he got a sudden illness and passed away. And that was so it was a boy and a girl. I probably should have mentioned that at the start.
Okay, yeah.
Brother and sister, and the boy passed on.
Yeah.
So the...
But the girl didn't.
No, the girl was fine. The girl
was
baptised.
But she was also baptised.
She was baptised, and the girl was later on called Agnes. So... They didn't know her name or anything, obviously. And Sir Richard, I'm guessing back in those days, they would just say, oh, boy and girl, or, you know, because...
Yeah, sort of, yeah.
I'm guessing, obviously, because they're not his children. He just took them in.
Yeah.
So then eventually he decided to give her the name Agnes. And she continued to live and work with Sir Richard for many more years. And this is where it gets a little bit interesting. So supposedly she ended up marrying... the Archdeacon of Ely.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
that's
actually
quite a position to rise to.
Yeah, so according to the reports, obviously it's the 12th century,
well,
so
yeah, yeah.
It's obviously folklore and stories. So supposedly, over time, her skin actually did become normal and she fit into society, like, quite well.
Well, she'd need to get married, obviously, wouldn't she? No archdeacon is going to marry a green girl.
No. And the guy, the archdeacon she married, was Richard Bear. And some reports say they also had a secret child.
Oh.
But nothing has confirmed that.
Green babies.
Possibly a green alien baby. So that's pretty much the story. Now, I know what you're thinking. That took 10 minutes. What is going on? How are we... But...
Right, yeah.
There are a few explanations as to what this could have actually been. Because, I mean...
There's some theories, ain't
there's
there?
There's some
yeah?
theories. Yeah. There's, and I've got about four or five.
Okay, so, let's explore some theories then.
So now you've heard the story of the Green Children, and I think you'll all agree, that was fascinating.
Absolutely.
So, one explanation that is the most likely is the children were the descendants of Flemish immigrants. That's Dutch for anyone that doesn't know.
Flemish is not Dutch.
Is it not?
Belgian.
Is it? No, it's not.
Yeah.
Well, my research told me Dutch, so...
No, Netherlands is Dutch. Flemish is Belgian.
Well, we're going to have to edit that bit out as well. So apparently they're Flemish Belgian immigrants who had been persecuted and possibly killed by King Stephen. The parents had been killed by King Stephen. So then they were just out in the wilderness on their own.
living on green beans.
Yeah, so confused and lost without their parents, the children ended up in Woolpit, speaking their native tongue of Flemish, which would explain the gibberish heard by the villagers.
It would. Flemish is, very difficult to understand for anybody outside of Belgium.
Yeah.
When I went to Belgium, I kind of stupidly assumed that they all spoke French.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got there, everything's written in this weird language, and I was like, oh, I'm at my depth now. I don't know. And then I sent Hayley a text going, I thought they spoke French in Belgium. And she's like, no, don't be stupid. It's Flemish. I was like, oh, okay. I didn't do my research very well that time.
What was so weird is, like, literally when I was researching this and it kept mentioning Flemish, I was like, I need to Google what Flemish is. So I typed in Google and it said that Flemish derives from Dutch. And I was like,
possibly.
So maybe I've just kind of read something a bit wrong. It literally said derives from Dutch.
Derived from Dutch, yeah. If Dutch was the original language that Flemish was developed from rather than French. That's what threw me, you see, because Flemish is so different to French. And I thought with them being right next door to each other, France and Belgium, that they'd be more likely to speak French than Dutch.
Oh, see, maybe that makes more sense then. So yeah. I wasn't fully wrong.
We can leave it in now. I don't have to do that editing.
So the green skin also could have been a symptom of malnourishment, or more specifically, green sickness.
Oh, what is that?
So proof of this is the green tint losing as they began to eat normal food.
Right.
So they started becoming more normal, and obviously the girl went on to have normal skin.
Yeah.
So from what I've read, green sickness, it's not about anymore. If you get malnourished, you pretty much just go skinny. But supposedly, back in those days, if you were really malnourished, you've got this type of disease called the green sickness. And it just, I suppose, what is it, jaundice that makes you a bit yellow?
Jaundice makes you yellow,
it's kind of like that, where it would just really impact your organs as well as, like, your skin.
Oh, right, okay.
And it would just really get you with malnourishment. So
apparently
your skin went green back in the 12th century.
But you wouldn't imagine that two children that were already malnourished would refuse food that's put in front of them until they find green beans.
That's a very good point.
That is an oddity to the story. If you want to follow this theory about malnourishment and green fever or whatever.
I mean, that what you just said has swayed me more towards aliens, if I'm honest. So
I'm still on Team Alien at the moment.
So that's the second one, as some people believe that the children were either extraterrestrial or subterranean.
Subterranean.
Under the ground.
Troglodytes, yeah.
Yeah. Is that what a troglodyte is?
Yeah, cave dweller.
I've been calling my wife a troglodyte for years.
Really? Just, what a nice thing to say to your wife.
Yeah, like, just in a nice, kind of friendly, banterish way. Like, I've been like, oh,
move
up
the sofa, you troglodyte.
Yeah, stuff like that.
You're calling her a cave dweller.
Yeah. Oh, poor old Chloe. So, another theory is the children were following cattle and ended up through a cave and were guided by the bells of Bury St. Edmunds out into Woolpit, the other end of the cave, and they just decided to start a new life.
Okay.
That's another theory.
Well, it's a theory, I suppose. Does anybody know of a cave anywhere around Woolpit that could...
I've not seen one. The only thing I can think of is there's that big old, like, arch bridge thing, but I'm pretty sure there's a train that goes over the top of it. So I don't think it's natural. I think it's man-made.
It wouldn't have been there in the 12th century, I wouldn't imagine.
And another theory, a ritual of some sorts could have been performed, resulting in a revival of the overground and the children being referred to as what we now call zombies. And
what?
Also, this might blow your mind, beans are known as the food of the dead. So another theory is these children were zombies.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. This was a good story. And then I feel like the explanations over the years are kind of bringing it down a peg or two.
A little bit, yeah. We've gone from aliens to zombies or Belgians.
Yeah.
So far, I guess the Belgians are most believable. But again, it's...
I've got two more for you.
I don't know. Well,
I've got two more explanations.
Let's carry on then.
So another possibility, which is the other more likely one, is that the two children were possibly poisoned by their uncle with arsenic. So supposedly that does something to your skin as well.
I'm not that knowledgeable on how poisons work.
Yes.
Potentially, yeah, I guess it might change the colour of your skin.
Yeah. So that was another theory, was they worked on a cattle farm, either for their uncle or their father.
Right.
And were mistreated and would have been poisoned. So then while they were poisoned, they obviously ran away to get help and
right.
were green and whatnot, wanting a new life. So that's another theory.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I'm still weirded out by this whole boy dying 24 hours after being baptized as well.
That's a weird thing.
That's a strange one.
And then this is the last explanation, right? This one is a bit far-fetched to me. So another explanation could be that over time, it's obviously a folklore, a fable, the children were never actually green. They were just representing two pygmies that were dark-skinned. So the whole story is actually they were just two dark-skinned pygmies, not green children. And it's actually a nice old story of how white people took in two native pygmies and kind of showed them a new life and treated them nicely.
Yeah. Now, my natural thought process now is thinking.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes see details.
The DSW Black Friday sale is on. Take 30% off almost everything in stores and online right now. Yep, you heard that right. 30% off. Stock up on new shoes, bags, and extras for you and yours from all the gift-worthy brands you love. But hurry, Black Friday can't last forever. Get to your DSW store or DSW.com ASAP to save big. Exclusions apply. Details at DSW.com.
Of about language barriers and how old English was written. Because, I mean, we know that only 100 years ago, orange wasn't a colour in the English language.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we call them Robin Redbreast,
yes,
you know, the bird, because they actually have orange breasts, but we didn't have a word for that back when Robin Redbreast became a phrase that we say.
Yeah.
Green children, the word green might be a replacement for a word that we no longer use, and green is just the...
I see what you're saying.
Or a lot of people say... green with envy. Could they have been envious children? Something like that.
That could make sense.
Now, do you know? Yeah.
But they're basically the five explanations of what these children could be. You've got anywhere ranging between malnourishment, disease, aliens, subterranean, cave dwellers.
Are there other people that come up with an alien theory then? Are they?
Ah, well, here we go. So I've got like two bits... maybe three bits of information here. It's all kind of word of mouth passed on, so none of it's actual fact. It's just from what I read. So there's an English poet called Herbert Reed. He wrote one book in 1934 called The Green Child, and this was a fantasy book which was heavily exaggerated and made into more of a romance novel, where the main character is said to hold resemblance to Herbert, who was the author.
Right.
So a lot of people, although it's a respected book and a lot of people enjoyed it, he's just kind of taken an old folklore and just kind of...
Twisted it
and made it his own. And a lot of people kind of get their information from his book,
right?
If that makes sense.
Even though he is not the original... creator
of that.
Yeah,
I mean, it's 1934, so 12th century to 1934.
It could get pretty drastically twisted, couldn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, but I do have two people that were there at the time of the Green Children.
And they're still alive. That's amazing.
Imagine
800-year-old people.
Oh, you look good for 800.
Can we interview them?
Back in my day, we only had green beans.
The wheel wasn't even invented back then.
What's orange? So, there was two writers, and this is how old it was. They didn't even have last names.
Yeah.
So you have Ralph of Coggeshall and William of Newborough.
Oh, because they were named after the places that they came from. Back in those days.
This is a little bit interesting, kind of freaky, is they were both kind of like, they didn't have journalists or interviewers back in those days, but I'm guessing they had people that paid an interest that would tell the masses about things going on. And
usually the church and stuff would be the community sort of rumour spreaders, I guess.
Because I can't think of the old job, but they would basically just write stuff down, like keep information and stuff. So I don't know if it's olden day journalists or what category their job would actually be. But
well, a lot of people didn't learn to read and write, so that's why it was down to the church. So monks and stuff would keep records of what was happening, you know, and that sort of thing.
Oh, well, they might have worked for a church. I didn't see that information, but they could have done. But that was their job, as they were reporting on this. And what's crazy is they both got told from trustworthy sources that these children came from another planet. They were these alien children. Oh, have you heard the story of the green children?
Come
on. Stuff like that.
Right.
And what's crazy is they lived miles apart. So I think it was Ralph actually lived 20 minutes down the road from Woolpit. He was kind of local to the area. So he starts hearing all this information and basically starts writing it down, which is why we have the story now. If it wasn't for these two guys writing it down, we wouldn't know about it. So they kept...
Ralph of, what was it?
Coggeshall.
Coggeshall. He would probably have been a baron or, you know, quite a wealthy man if he knew how to read and write.
Ah. See, it's all piecing together.
Yeah,
now.
There you go.
So I'm pretty sure it was Ralph. He was the local one. And then William of Newborough, I believe it was up north towards Yorkshire, is where he was from.
You could check that by looking where Newborough is, couldn't you?
Yes, you could have done. But I'm sure it read somewhere near Yorkshire. It probably did. But there were several distance and miles between the two guys. So what I took from
They'd each independently heard the same rumours.
Yeah, they didn't write it down. They didn't have the same connections or anything like that. It was this guy miles away had heard this story and then came down and also, like, got on his horse and came down and was speaking to other people. And Ralph and William never actually met or
never
anything
met
like that.
Together.
They had two separate reports, and both of them were pretty much the same report of what they, because they both spoke to Sir Richard, got the information, what were they like growing up and how did it happen, and so all the sources and everything were trustworthy, and a lot of it was from Sir Richard himself,
straight from the horse's mouth
and stuff like that. So they were a bit like, well, this is odd, isn't it? You've got two different reports and they're from completely different like places. So,
but they're both taking that story from the same source, so that would be why the two reports are so similar.
So the story's added up. So those people definitely believe it is aliens.
Yeah.
And then you've got, this one is a bit weird, but I thought it was worth mentioning while we're doing all right for time. So in 1621, Robert Burton wrote The Anatomy of Melancholy, which was like a medicine and philosophy book.
Yeah, I think I've heard of it, yeah.
So he strongly believes that the children were aliens.
Okay.
And the book that he wrote, The Anatomy of Melancholy, it was used as like a textbook for all kinds of crazy things. Like some people would take philosophy, astronomy, medicine. It was just like a huge...
alchemy and all sorts of stuff like that. Yeah,
yeah, it was over 900 pages.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was just had all this information. Because, again, he was kind of like the other two, where he was just writing stuff down, trying to help other people understand science and things like that. So his book was used between 1676 all the way until the early 1800s.
Yeah,
so it's a
very influential book then, really.
Yeah, and it also had poetry in there, stories like The Green Children and various subjects. And a few people mocked him because later on you obviously find out that certain things, you know, there's
get
an
disproved or, whatever.
But on the whole, a lot of his work is considered, like, it's respected, mm-hmm. So... he's another one, but he strongly believes that they were aliens.
Well, it's the same, I guess, as like Isaac Newton, very respected. Mm-hmm. And obviously he did do a lot of groundbreaking stuff. His theory of gravity was nearly spot on.
Yeah.
If Einstein hadn't come up with the theory of relativity, we'd still think that Newton's law of gravity is the absolute law of gravity. Mm-hmm. Obviously later on it got changed, so...
yeah,
kind of. Not that it discredits Newton, because he put in the legwork to get to it. But you know, that theory wasn't quite right. It had to be expanded on at a later date by somebody else to actually get that. And that's exactly the same as what's going on.
Yeah,
here,
it makes sense, doesn't it? Because you still, in a way, respect the person that came up with it. It might be a little bit wrong, but it's still like, well, they were pretty much there, weren't they? So it's you've got to respect it in a way. And then the last guy I will mention, which you'll like this because it's to do with space, he was an astronomer called Duncan Lunan. And he believes that they were dropped off on Earth to explore by their planet. So their planet sent them there to Earth and was like, go explore, see what you can find out.
Right.
And he believes that one of the reasons was because the planet that they came from was in a bit of peril, as they were stuck in orbit around its sun, where the planet was extremely hot on one side and extremely dark and cold and frozen on the other.
Do you know what that is?
No.
That is known as a tidally locked planet.
Oh.
Where its rotation matches its orbital speed. Same as the moon is tidally locked to Earth, so we only ever see one face of it. So that happening around a planet, yes, the planet will heat up exponentially on one side and freeze on the other side.
Potentially green moon children.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I've got for you, mate. And that brings me to the conclusion of the green children. So I've got some snippets there of people that believe it's aliens, and then some stories there about malnutrition things. But I think you'll agree, the main story was fascinating.
It is fascinating, yeah. I mean, it's a baffling one as well.
Yeah.
I'd like to know how green they were, or if indeed they were actually the colour green.
Yeah.
Or whether that's been something that's been mistranslated throughout the ages or what.
The drawings, I won't say pictures because cameras weren't invented then, but the drawings and sketches... I don't know. You can't really date them, can you? You don't know where they're from.
No, you won't know when or where they're from.
But
that's the thing.
Made it pretty green, like as green as trees and leaves and grass and stuff. But it's an odd one, isn't it?
Because
it's such an old fable. It's almost
probably got roots in the green man. You know, the leafy green man.
Oh, yeah, he looks awesome.
Yeah. Maybe they're related.
Oh, possibly. And the green giant.
Yeah. Jolly green giant.
He just sent his children down to try and get some more profit.
That's why they like the beans.
Just pretend you really like the beans and we'll get more customers. That's what it was, I reckon.
It's an 800-year-old business, Jolly Green Giant. Yeah. We should really keep supporting that one.
Yeah. So out of all of that, are you leaning more towards aliens? Yeah. The story and the way it's told, and well, maybe not necessarily the way I told it, but the actual fable and the folklore of it, it does heavily suggest aliens. Because like you pointed out straight away within the first 10 seconds of one of the explanations, some things don't add up.
No.
Whereas aliens, I mean, there's no actual science to prove aliens, but it sounds more plausible than someone going, oh, well, it could have been malnourishment. But then, like you said, why wouldn't they just eat all the food they could get? Because they would have seen other food before.
Yeah, so. Even if they'd come from Belgium or Netherlands. Yeah. Which...
yeah, one of the two. Tomato, tomato.
Yeah, exactly. If you put a Belgian waffle in front of them, they might have gobbled it up. But we don't make Belgian waffles in the 1100s in England. So, you know. But, yeah, I still think... stick a sausage in front of them or something like that, they would have eaten it.
Yeah.
You know? Why they held off eating any food at all for several days until they found green beans that they identified as food.
Yeah.
Even though they're starving hungry and they can see people around them eating,
yeah,
you know, whatever they were eating.
Very true.
Pumpkin pie or whatever, you know.
I mean, I fully believe the alien story. And the reason why, before we get
are
to...
Are you on Team Alien as
I'm
well?
I'm on Team Alien. Okay. And before we get to the paranormality scale, I will just explain why. To the viewers out there, they're going to call me crazy. I told you several years ago, when I was driving to work in the darkness, near the area of Walpit.
Yeah.
It was pitch black because it's 5 in the morning in winter. And as I'm driving through, a bright green light appeared in the sky and it shot towards the floor. Not upwards. It wasn't a flare. It wasn't a Chinese lantern. It couldn't have been anything like that because it shot downwards.
Yeah.
And when it lit up the sky, it was like daylight, like as powerful as the sun. Yeah, yeah. It was daylight for maybe 3-4 seconds. And then when it shot to the floor, it was pitch black again. And what backs my story up is when I mentioned it to my wife's parents, and I was thinking, I'm going to sound crazy here.
Yeah.
They confirmed it because Uncle George, who was a good old boy in his 80s, he has an outhouse toilet.
With the old-fashioned style.
Old-fashioned. Yeah. He got up that morning to go to the loo at the same time as I was driving to work. And he said the exact same story of this light in the sky, but the only difference was he described it as light blue, whereas I saw green. But the story was exactly the same, okay. And he couldn't explain it either. And I've tried Googling it, I've tried researching it, and I can't see anything about it, not even military. So because that happened to me and that story, around Woolpit and it was green, I'm giving that some sort of credence. There could be more green children.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There are also several. There is also a very famous UFO story of that sort of area of the country, a little bit more east. Rendlesham Forest incident from 1980, which I will be covering in another podcast.
Oh, was that the Christmas one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, that this area of the country is kind of known as a bit of a hotspot for... alien activity, and I'm still team alien, I think.
I am. It adds a bit of mysteriousness to it.
I just like it better that way than thinking they were just Belgians that are on the wrong island.
Yeah, also, we wouldn't be as entertaining of a podcast if we just said these stories and then just debunked it straight away. And
exactly.
It turns out it was just a malnourishment, so eat your veggies. Like, it's just not...
Try not to ingest too much arsenic.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, let's keep it mysterious, let's keep it fun, let's keep it light. We're going with aliens. What's your scale? What are you saying?
Oof. Well, like I say, I'm still team alien on this. It's obviously such an old story.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know how much of it has been lost to the ages or, you know, rewritten, you know, Chinese whispers style. It might be completely different to the original story. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But I like it. I think it is quite an interesting story.
Yeah.
And that death at a baptism is
odd.
That's an odd one.
Yeah. And the fact that they actually can't pinpoint.
Makes me want to rub my chin like this and brush my beard and just ponder on it for a little while. But no, I'm going about 7.2.
Oh, I was thinking in the sevens too.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to make the maths easier this week. I'm going to give it a 7.4.
Okay, so 7.3 average. You could have done that one again.
Yeah, could have done. I wanted to make sure it was right.
But no, that's fair enough. I think it is an interesting story. I mean, even if they did just turn out to be, you know, foreigners, foreign children that had migrated to the English shorelines and lost their parents on the way, I suppose.
Yeah.
Doesn't explain how they turn up green.
Yeah.
I mean, that has really got to be a focal point of the story, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So that's why I'm still Team Alien, because, yeah, I just...
Yeah. I'd also be interested to know if... You say Flemish was Belgian, so we have a few downloads every week in Belgium.
Belgium is, quite
out there. In Belgium. If they know the story of the Green Children, or, you know, did they...
That would be interesting.
Did they have two children that mysteriously vanished?
Or they cast out of society because they were the greenness.
Yeah, let us know.
You weird green people, get out of here!
Get back to us. Let us know, our Belgian family. So
yeah, that would be interesting. But anyway, if you are a green child, write in. If you have green children, let us know. We want to know about these things.
Is it malnourishment? Are you feeding them enough?
Are you poisoning them with arsenic?
Do they love green beans?
Maybe you should stop doing that.
Is your husband the green giant?
Is he an alien?
Yeah, let us know.
You know, let's see if we can get to the bottom of this through our followers. The email address, as always, is paranormality.uk@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and Discord.
Yeah.
Please do come and, you know, drop us a line, even if you just want to say hi. We love all the feedback that you can give us. And, get your green fingers working, I suppose.
Yeah, get those green thumbs on your phones.
And until then, I've been Pirate.
I'm Josh.
This has been Paranormality UK. Ta-ta.
Ta-ta.
Oh my God, it's the coolest thing ever. Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? Well, check this out. It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic famous foods from restaurants across the country anywhere nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. Seriously. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.
This podcast is brought to you by Aura. 2024 has seen a surge in high-profile data breaches, raising serious concerns about the security of personal information. This past summer, National Public Data reported a breach potentially affecting every American. That's why we're thrilled to partner with Aura. Aura is a complete online safety toolkit, which includes a variety of other features to keep you safe online, including a VPN for secure browsing, data broker opt-out to stop companies from selling your personal information, a password manager to help you create and store strong passwords, and more. For a limited time, Aura is offering our listeners a 14-day trial plus a check of your data to see if your personal information has been leaked online, all for free when you visit aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety to sign up for a 14-day free trial and start protecting you and your loved ones. That's aura.com/safety. Certain terms apply, so be sure to check the site for...
It's official. Podcast advertising is transcending audio. Marketers can now tap into audiences across all of a creator's channels, from social media to video, live events, and beyond. And Acast's new report proves it works, with 84% of podcast listeners having taken action after seeing brands promoted in a podcast-first omnichannel campaign. Get these insights and more by downloading the full report at podcastpulse2024.acast.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.